Welcome to another episode of Software Gone Wild. A while ago, we were talking about Docker networking, and for those of you who aren't regular listeners, that was episode 49. I would strongly recommend, if you haven't listened to it before, that you stop right here and listen to that one first, because that one was intro, and today we'll do a really, really deep dive into some weird corners of Linux networking and how Docker works with that. Luckily, I have a companion that kept me safe on this journey. Hi, Nick Buraglio. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Thank you for asking.
This time, the setup is not as cozy as it was the last time, right? No one is from Hawaii.
Yeah, no one's in Hawaii right now.
Too bad about that. And the birds aren't singing around here, and I'm not climbing tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's all around just kind of not as luxurious of a setting as it was the last time around.
Yeah, but at least you have a better headset now.
Yes, the one that my cat chewed through the cord and I didn't realize has been retired at this point. I bought a new
one. Don't blame your cat. Just leave the cat
out. Oh, no, I know he did it because he chewed through a bunch of stuff.
Anyway, and the third voice on the line is Brent Salisbury. Brent, how are you doing?
Hey, Vaughn. Hey, Nick. Hey, some of my favorite people together. Pretty awesome. Doing great.
And you brought two more people with you, right?
Yes, we've got Madhu Venugopal and John Willis, two of our brothers and partners in crime at Docker.
Oh, Madhu, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Thank you. Last time we spoke, it was an adventure here for us. I traveled all the way from my home to city to take the call, and the power went off. So it was like a mess for me to be on a tethered phone. Power is going out, and finally we made it through, finally, thanks to Skype. And today it's not so at all. It's great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. The last time it was like you were out of power and Dave couldn't even get Skype to work and you were running low on batteries, right?
Yeah, it was a nail-biting finish. Yes.
Oh, you should have seen my recording environment for the last call I did with Nick. I was sitting in this stone cottage on my mobile phone hoping that I will get 3G signal.
But now Skype actually is pretty good at all this kind of thing. So I had to say, yeah, Skype is a good choice for you, for sure.
Absolutely. And the last person on this call is John Willis. Welcome.
Great to be here. It's kind of funny. I think I met Brent maybe 3.5 years ago. As I've said many times, was not really a network person other than I knew enough to be dangerous. And I think through meeting Brent, Madhu, and Dave, I've arrived. I'm on your show. Like, I am a network dude.
So, what are you doing when you're not on a networking show?
I joke, I spend half my time twiddling with technology, you know, mostly Docker, kind of following up on some of the stuff Madhu and Brent's been doing from the Docker networking, but also just the general Docker platform itself. And we've got really cool stuff now, Docker Data Center and all that. So I spend about half my time. I say I have four jobs. I have, you know, my day job. I have my kids and family. And then I kind of twiddle the technology that keeps me sharp. But then the other half of the time, I like to kind of study human culture, you know, organizational performance. So I do work with Gene Kim and spend a lot of time thinking about organizational performance and organizational culture and a lot of what Gene has discussed in IT Revolution, the Phoenix Project. And I got to get my one plug in here. We just published the DevOps Handbook, and it's something we've been working on for a really long time. So that's orderable now, which is a companion book to the Phoenix Project. So all of the above.
Awesome.
So you have all of these things going on, and then now you're also doing networking stuff. And to that, I would say, welcome to Thunderdome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, probably the worst or best thing that could have happened to me is like right off the bat work with Brent and Madhu, right? Like it'd be like, you know, reasonably sane to dump you in with just some regular people, right? But then to be thrown right into the fire with two amazing people with unbelievably complementary skills. My experience with this, for those who don't know, we started a company called Socket Plane, and, you know, to have Brent's kind of insight of the industry and being able to kind of see where the map is going. And you know, Madhu, I think Madhu is one of the most fantastic people on the planet. His ability to architect network solutions is beyond my comprehension.
Uh-huh. Yeah, have good teachers in that.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing, like, you know, John's one of the kind of godfathers, I'd say, of DevOps. We're network guys. So there was a lot of evolution all around. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, now that John has mentioned this crazy stuff that Brent and Madhu are cooking up, this podcast started with a short email that Brent sent me saying, "Hey buddy, I got MacVLAN and IPVLAN network drivers for Docker." Brent, you totally disappointed me, because attached to that email was like a 10-page documentation.
Uh-huh. I'm good at disappointing people.
That documentation, by the way, is fantastic, and I'll add the link to the show notes. So whoever wants to know more, that's like one of the best written documentation I've seen in a long while.
Too kind. Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's so like MacVLAN, IPVLAN, just for those who haven't looked at it, so this is something that got pushed into the kernel. So MacVLAN as of like 3.09 and then IPVLAN as of 3.19, and there was quite a few bugs in there early on. So 4.2 we found to be really stable with it. So,
okay, to start at the very basics, what are MacVLAN and IPVLAN thingies?
Sure. Probably even broader. Like today we have overlay driver support. So like Madhu, John, and Alessandro did an amazing job. We've got the first podcast we focused on the overlay pieces. What we're looking to fill in the gap is underlay, right? Because if you go to anybody in networking or anybody that has anything to do with containers, basically, everybody's going to have an opinion. Half the people are going to say, "I don't want to touch the network. I don't care about the network." And then the other half the people are going to be like, "What do you mean you don't support EVPN?" Right? It's this bizarre gambit of everybody wants what they know, which totally makes sense. I'm a network guy. I like networks. I like visibility into networks. I like visibility into what's going over those networks. Underlay integration I see as kind of one of the pillars to many people's solutions. So that being said, we wanted to kind of fill that gap in a little bit more. So basically, IPVLAN and MacVLAN, there's various modes for all of them. But MacVLAN bridge mode and IPVLAN L2 mode functionally work almost exactly the same. There's one little difference we'll go into. So when we talk about MacVLAN, when we say L2 mode, we basically mean MacVLAN bridge mode and IPVLAN L2 mode. Basically, if you look at like how we used to do, let's say you want to run VLANs or you want to have a bridge attached to a network. In Linux, you create a bridge, and then you say, okay, well, now I'm going to attach things into that bridge. So I want to attach containers into the bridge, or I want to attach VMs into the bridge, or whatever. Well, everything on that bridge can talk to one another, right? Broadcast domain, all that kind of stuff. But the problem is they can't talk to the underlying network without basically two things. You know, one is you either use IP masquerade, which is what people's home routers do, or you have to physically take ETH0 and plumb it into that bridge, or take your physical interface and put it into that bridge.
Okay, IP masquerade is a fancy name for NAT, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Great point. So both of those have their places, but the bridge mode in particular, what these drivers are focused on is there is no NAT. Basically, when you start out, if you've ever used Docker, there's port mapping by default. But this is, it's just the real address, so there's no NAT, which... you know, a lot of networking people or a lot of ops people tend to like. You also get that same effect in overlay. There's no NATing until you need to gateway out of the overlay. Traditionally, you have this bridge and then you have to try and figure out how to get ETH0 into it. If anybody's ever like tried to stand up OpenStack in VLAN modes, probably cut yourself off a million times. The nice thing about MacVLAN and IPVLAN is it's bridgeless. So instead of saying, I want to attach this container into the same, let's say, subnet, as ETH0, instead of saying, okay, well, I'm attached to a bridge, and now I'm going to move ETH0 into that bridge also, I'm just going to attach directly to the parent interface or that Linux interface. Now I'm on the same network segment. So if you had a Linux box that had ETH0 and it's on 192.168.1.0/24, and now you want to start containers on that same subnet, you just point to ETH0. So ETH0 almost functionally is replacing the bridge functionality. So there is no bridge. So there is no Docker 0.
So the containers are attached straight to the physical interface.
Yes, sir. And so it can be a physical interface, it can be a bonded interface, it could be a sub interface. So anything, any kind of Netlink Linux interface you can attach to.
Each container would have its own public MAC address and its own public IP address.
Correct. Now, that's where we get into the caveat between MacVLAN L2 mode and MacVLAN bridge mode and IPVLAN L2 mode. And that is, in MacVLAN bridge mode, you have a unique MAC address per container. In IPVLAN L2 mode, you use the same MAC address as the parent interface. So if you're attaching to the E0 broadcast domain, your containers would use the same MAC address. So both of those kind of have unique scenarios that they can both be protoconed to death. You know, some of the obvious ones are if you're in an environment that, let's say, has port security on ports. So you're in a cloud and they only allow, you know, one MAC address per switch port. Well, you're going to be using that, you know, everybody shares the same MAC address. On the flip side, your containers don't have a unique MAC address. So if you're troubleshooting, you know, you're trying to chase down, you know, where does this IP address live? And you start at L2 and you're looking for a MAC address. MAC VLAN would have a slight advantage there because it's going to have a unique MAC address per container.
Before we go a whole lot further down that path, I think it's sort of important to recognize that you've essentially removed a layer of complexity from plumbing the network stack into your container environment, your Docker environment, right? So you've taken out what most people may be familiar with as a, you know, like a Linux bridge or an OVS port or something like that. That's another element that needs to be within the troubleshooting skill set of the people that are running these things. And now you've essentially just amputated that out of the entire process. So now it's directly speaking to the hardware, correct?
That's correct. So, Brent, if I may jump in here, I'll give a different perspective towards the same thing, right? Nick, what you said is absolutely right. The VLAN drivers, I mean, we tried to group them together, call it VLAN drivers, Mac VLAN, IP VLAN. They're really lightweight and solves this use case really, really well, which is the plumbing the containers. People call this the routable IP for containers, where IP address of the containers are directly reachable from the underlay. So there's no need for a port mapping or NATing in order for masquerading container and expose the IP address of the host alone, right? This particular use case, we could have solved the same use case by having a local bridge and attaching the physical Ethernet port to the bridge and have V interfaces attaching to the particular container. We could have solved the same problem that way, but it's not meant for that. The way the bridge networking today in Docker works, I tend to call it virtual networking as well, just like overlay, because the IP addresses and MAC addresses of the containers are private to a given host. The Docker automatically performs the NATing and port mapping in order for traffic to reach out, right? Since the containers can expose ports, it has to be mapped to the host port. There's a limitation of if two different containers in the same machine wants to expose the same port, they cannot do it. So they map to an ephemeral port on the host. Then the IP tables does the mapping and all the jazz, right? And we need an external service discovery to say, hey, in order to reach a service running inside a host, then you have this IP address of the host and the mapped port so that you can reach the container from an external entity. Now with the Mac VLAN and IP VLAN, the containers actually get a globally routable, bridgeable IP address, and hence the ports are exposed by the container right outside the box. Hence, we don't have to do port mapping or no virtual networking at all. We can actually make the container accessible, the container services application accessible by anyone outside the host itself, just like any other VMs or service that is exposed today in the traditional networking space.
Okay, but Madhu, if we step back a little bit, what you explained is a design decision that the original Docker team made for whatever reason. I always wondered why they went down that way, but let's not open that can of worms.
Actually, I can go over the discussion if you're interested in that. I mean,
we only have half an hour left.
Sure.
Well, I think the simple answer is, John, it was pragmatic, right? Like they were trying to get to the whole purpose of Docker was to make the initial experience with the most amount of value in the quickest amount of time, right? So they were very pragmatic about their solution at that point.
Not just that, right? I mean, if you want to run the same Mac VLAN, IP VLAN in AWS cloud, you cannot do it.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the point I was really trying to make is that this is actually simplifying a lot of things. Now, regardless of what the background was, right now, as someone who has worked on networks for a long time, I will avoid things like NAT at all costs, right? And so now this extra layer that was once there we don't have to worry about that anymore. I think this is a big deal to me because it simplifies things a lot in a lot of ways.
Okay, so I understand now why the original decision was made to do port mapping from the outside to Docker containers so that you could run a host on AWS and it would still work. Now, Madhu, as you explained, a Mac VLAN is functionally equivalent to having containers connected to a Linux bridge and not running IP table mapping on the outside, right?
That's correct.
What Nick was explaining, and I had a little bit of problem grasping that, that's why I'm repeating the whole thing, is that in the Mac VLAN case, you don't even have the Linux bridge because the demuxing based on the destination MAC address is actually happening before the bridge, in almost in the Ethernet driver of the outgoing interface.
That's correct.
Exactly right. Like it's almost like you just read the kernel patch.
I didn't, honestly.
Yeah, there's nobody else that can look at a scenario and say how it's done without knowing how it's done than you. So.
Okay, so now we covered what Mac VLAN does. And by the way, it is almost functionally identical to SRIOV, right?
Yeah, so there's a handful of different modes, and that happens to be one of them. So.
No, I said functionally equivalent. I didn't say it's the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just saying like it actually supports that too. So.
Oh, it supports that.
Yeah, let me... I don't have them off the top of my head. It's been a while since I looked at them. We're just implementing the bridge one. This is very Linux networking focused. So basically anything, you know, we want to, if it's supported in Linux networking, we want to have an integration for it because we just think that makes sense.
Absolutely.
These are some newer concepts that are very native to namespace isolation that you get. So personally, I think this is one of those that does change how networks are done, not just this driver implementation, but that being a native to Linux. The bridge becomes significantly less relevant. You know, like Nick said, you're just taking out a layer.
Yeah.
We understand if you have three bridges, and those three bridges, let's say, have a VLAN tag on it. Well, now I have to have three different bridges. I'm going to attach virtual ports to those bridges, but now I have to figure out how do I get off the box? And so now I have to take sub-interfaces of the Ethernet and physical mix and plumb those into each bridge. So that's all native to this because we're just saying, I just want to attach directly to that native NIC or parent interface, as we call it.
Now, another question. Removing the Linux bridge out of the picture is nice because things become simpler. Is there also a performance impact?
Yeah, actually, it goes up. So I haven't personally tested in a clean environment, I would say. Peter Fowl, he's probably been on your show before. He's the guy that did S-Flow. He recently did a video on sflow.org. I'll plug that. That shows the performance. And so he was showing basically wire rate. Some of the feedback I've seen from folks, there is a performance boost because, like you said, you're just removing moving parts.
And as you spoke of isolation a bit before, now every container can talk to any other container, right? So how can you isolate tenants?
Yeah, great point. So if you take a traditional enterprise data center, from my perspective, is what I used to do. And it's when you got a server in, you needed, web front end, back end, and that server in the data center for, a bunch of VMs or whatever. You hand off a .1 queue trunk to server guy, and the server guy plugs in those VLAN IDs and off he goes. It's the same concept. It actually just makes it easier. So .1 queue trunking traditionally with Linux, not super easy. Not very clear. Normally, you can use the IP link command, plumb in a VLAN ID into a sub-interface and all that kind of stuff. But when you reboot the machine, when you reboot the host, it's all ephemeral and it disappears when it comes back. So you have to put it in the startup scripts, Etsy network interfaces, wherever, and to keep it persistent between reboots. This is one thing I'm actually pretty excited about because it is adding a really functional layer of automation on top of provided by the Docker engine when it starts. So let's say I want to create a network on VLAN 10. I need a sub-interface within the parent. So if you want to be on, want it to go out ETH0, a VLAN ID tagged with 10. So I would say my parent is ETH0.10. And so now all containers that leave that network are going to be tagged with it. And what we actually do is set up the sub-interfaces for you. So when you create that, if the sub-interface of ETH0.10, that's going to correspond to VLAN 10 for traffic on ETH0, we'll set that up with the network create and then we'll delete it. Or if you want to maintain it, like if it's an existing sub-interface and you want to manage all that, you just pass that in, we see that it already exists, and so we won't delete it. So you can either create sub-interfaces manually and have that, you know, in your traditional workflow on your Linux box, or you just specify, I want to be on VLAN 10 when you create the network, and off you go. So then from the networking side, the network admin would just drop a .1Q trunk into the server. So we also have partners that are looking to automate all of that. So if the VLAN doesn't exist, or if you want to push from a more network-centric side and you want to push VLANs that are on the Tor into the host, that's also possible.
And Brent, one more interesting thing that we saw in Mac VLAN driver when it comes to isolation is the fact that the whole system cannot even reach the container that's running on the same host, right? If a container that is running as part of the Mac VLAN, say VLAN 10, right, for the example, for that matter, or for business Mac VLAN driver, the container is completely isolated even from an IP address disability standpoint from the host system. Meaning, even though a container is part of the host, it actually is not running part of the host when it comes to disability. That provides further isolation, which is not available in Bridge today.
Assuming you don't configure IP address on ETH 0.10, right?
No, even there. Even let's remove the VLAN example and just say ETH 0. If ETH 0 on the host has 192.168.1.254, and then you start a container on 192.168.1.10, that container can't ping the bridge IP of .254. So it's being filtered by a net filter inside of the kernel. It's definitely set up to be completely isolated. So if you're a provider, or because if you think about it, you may not want a container to be able to talk directly to the underlying host. And also, it doesn't have to have an IP address on the parent interface either.
A container in VLAN 10 can talk to another container in VLAN 10, but they cannot talk to the underlying host, even if the host has an IP address in VLAN 10.
Yes, that's correct. If you had another host, obviously, on VLAN 10 with another two containers, all of those can talk.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So you can't talk to your host. You can talk to any other host if someone is stupid enough to configure them in the same VLAN.
Yes,
that's exactly. Correct. That's correct.
Yeah, I'm glad Madhu mentioned it, mainly because the first thing, even myself, the first time I used it, I'm like, well, I guess it's not working because I can't ping E0.
Now, we already mentioned the difference between Mac VLAN and IP VLAN in layer 2 mode is that in the first case, you have many MAC addresses. In the second case, you have many IP addresses, but the same MAC address. Are there any other differences between the two, and when would I use one or the other?
So the one other major one I would mention is if you look at the average Broadcom NIC, for example, not you, Nick, Broadcom.
Base, right.
The ceiling on that is roughly 512 unique MAC addresses. So today that might not be a concern, but once you get over that 512 unique MAC address, there are performance implications. So.
Oh, yeah, you go into promiscuous mode.
So that's another good point. Promiscuous mode, that's a requirement for both of the L2 and bridge modes. And the rationale is you need to be, just for Mac VLAN, because there's unique MAC address. Broadcasts are allowed in, broadcast, multicast, unicast are all allowed into the container. So we're talking normal rules here. If a container needs to ping somebody else, the first thing he's going to do is ARP for that MAC address.
And important point here, Ivan, so yes, you're right, promiscuous mode is the drawback of Mac VLAN, where without promiscuous mode enabled, the containers, they cannot reach outside. This is another reason why bridging and NATing, port mapping kind of works out of the box. Because even though in a bridging case, even though the container gets a different MAC address, since you do NATing, we don't have to enable port mapping, we do not enable the promiscuous mode on the particular Ethernet port, right? That's the reason why even though Mac VLAN, IP VLAN is really the best way to go forward when it comes to the underlying integration, various scenarios in which the user have to choose between different modes of operation. So IP VLAN is kind of really good when it comes to all this, that you don't want to enable the promiscuous mode. But unfortunately, IP VLAN works great with kernel 4.2. Distros are not there yet. So it's going to take some time. We'll have 4.2 kernel above. It's more prevalent. People have to choose between bridge versus Mac VLAN as IP VLAN based on the criteria they have in their own deployments.
To summarize what you just said, you would recommend using IPVLAN L2 mode, but you need a pretty recent kernel for that.
4.2 is not very recent. Now, the recent kernel is 4.6 and others, but still the distros, people must, you know, evaluate their kernel to make sure they're happy with that and then not do that. But 4.2 is there for some time now, but yes.
Then the only other would be if you want the network to see the actual MAC address of the container. And there's also some cool tools out there that integrate with the network, like Fredsu did one from Arista where it's container tracer, where he's keeping a table via Swarm, which is our clustering, super easy to use. And so he's keeping a table of endpoints and where they map to on the like the network port. So there's some cool tools out there that will overcome the same MAC address that's everywhere.
Are you telling me that Arista has a VM tracer for Docker?
Yeah. Yeah, it's named Container Tracer.
Yeah, of course. That's cool.
That's very cool.
Good stuff.
So we talked a lot about how the ARPing and the MAC addresses and all of those things, how you've accomplished those goals. One of the things that keeps coming to my mind is, you know, when you deploy what I would consider to be like an SDN network, like an open flow signal network, one of the largest hangups is that you have to reinvent ARP, to put it bluntly, right? And so can you contrast and compare sort of how you've done those things to what some other folks may be familiar with in a typical data center SDN deployment? What are the advantages of the changes that you've made in there?
Sure. So again, if you want to be decoupled from the network, you know, we've got a killer option. If you want to integrate into the underlying network, now we're filling that out too. Might be a decent time to transition kind of into the L3 piece. These L2 modes all function the same way that a server attached to a switch function or a VM attached to a bridge or a container. Like everything flooding and learning is how those L2 modes work. So there's no magic there. It's very straightforward. If you run a TCP dump, you'll see, you know, 802.1D packets, frames coming in. Now, when you start getting into L3 mode, which is an IPVLAN only mode, basically all the rules go away. And so it's pretty amazing. I think that the upside to it is enormous. So as a networking nerd at heart, I love it. And the fundamental difference is the stack is processed in the container and no broadcast or multicast traffic is allowed in.
But Brent, the thing is, even though IPVLAN, the issue is not there, it's actually the same traditional L3 networking, right? There's nothing new IPVLAN brings in when it comes to the traditional way of approaching networking, right? Where if you want an L3 solution, that's exactly what happens in IPVLAN as well, right? Just to be make sure that IPVLAN follows the same traditional networking path of L3 networking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Great point. So, and I mean it around ARP in particular, because if we think about, you know, the hard parts of SDN have been, how do we proxy ARP, right? Yep. Who's going to answer ARP?
Right. It's
because we're very kind of L2 constrained, and or we still think in subnets, which is totally useful, and there's lots of use cases for it. So the difference is L3 mode, the container network has to be on a different subnet as the parent interface. So if E0 is on 192/24, well, the container would have to be on, let's say, 10/24 or 10/32. So it has to be on a separate network as the parent interface. As long as they share the same parent interface, as long as they're both using E0, any IPVLAN interface can ping another one. So if you had 10 on one container, a 10.0.0 whatever, and a 172.16 something, those can ping each other. So normally you would say, well, where's the router? Who's answering the ARP? That's all done for you basically out of the kernel drivers.
Right. So it's just referencing all of those pointers that already exist within the kernel of the system so that it doesn't ever have to make external requests for that stuff.
It's keeping a table of IP address mappings right there, basically.
Right. So yeah. If you look at essentially comparing between the traditional SDN, or I should not call it traditional SDN, can I?
Okay, so now we have traditional SDN. Okay.
That statement alone just melted my brain.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the moment I said that, I realized, oh my God, I'm inventing new technologies here, right? But having said that, it's traditional for me because I've been like the kid with the toy in hand when I started seeing the OpenFlow and the OpenAI days, where L2 population was a cool thing to do, right? Where we did actually populate the, you know, we learned from the MAC address of the VMs and then control will populate everywhere to avoid flooding. It's really cool to do, but it's completely not the way traditional networking used to operate, right? In fact, the overlay networking of Docker does a very similar job of learning the MACs, and we distribute it using the SURF protocol so that, again, avoiding the flooding aspects of things, right? So again, we kind of reinvented the way ARP works in the SDN overlay networking terminology, while the MAC VLAN, IP VLAN drivers here. The cool thing about these VLAN drivers here is that it provides the same level of application flexibility when it comes to networking. Like, hey, the containers just work. Application need not worry about how the networking is set up, so on and so forth. All the beautiful benefits of SDN. At the same time, the actual network plumbing, the actual network operations is exactly the same that we all traditionally know about how things work. And that's the reason why I kind of love this technology here, is that I would like to call it SDN still, because it provides the exact same benefits of the SDN supposed to provide, which is app portability, app flexibility, and now network doesn't come in the way kind of stuff. At the same time, operators can just do the job the way they have been doing forever.
In short, to me, it seems like the net gain here is you've removed complexity in a lot of ways, not only from the layer two stuff, which, you know, a lot of people are doing because the data centers are typically focused around layer two, but you've come to the table with a very strong layer three component that also does that same function of simplifying a lot of things that make it operationally harder to do layer three.
Yeah, and I don't want to paint a picture that there's no complexity with L3. So one thing with L3, and, you know, I mean, this is something Yvonne blogs on often, you still have to, where, you know, when you have an L2 segment and you have a server even on it, well, you're giving some power to that server to be able to flood to a switch and say, here's how I want you to program your MAC address tables. That same concept applies to L3. With L3, you're saying you're creating this isolated network. So that network has to be advertised somehow. It could be advertised via, let's say, an agent that plumbs in a static route into that top of rack every time that container comes up or every time the network comes up. Or you can actually bolt on, you know, there's some really cool open source control plane projects. Like, we really like GoBGP because it's written in Go, which is nice. You know, that opens up the door to being able to advertise either host routes or, you know, /24s or whatever into the network. The upside is scale, right? The internet scales, routing scales. We know that flooding eventually doesn't scale in large broadcast domains.
So contrary to the traditional SDN, this is routing as usual, right?
Absolutely. The simplest scenario is you're taking two hosts, they were routers, and you connected two routers. And then you started up a network interface or you put a subnet on another interface on one of the routers. Well, the other router isn't going to know about it unless it gets redistributed.
Come on, Brent. Tell them what you really feel about traditional SDN. Come on now.
We have too many friends.
He doesn't want to piss off God.
So you've written the Docker drivers that allow you to use IP VLAN layer 3 mode, but someone still has to fix the routing tables in the hosts and in the top of rack switches. So if I want to deploy this stuff today, how would I do that?
Today, the VLAN drivers in Docker, they are in experimental mode. The purpose of experimental mode is to make sure the relevant parties who are interested in this particular technology can try it out and give us feedback. So based on the feedback, we'll fix the issues and everything, and then it becomes part of the Docker project itself. So the thing about Docker project is it's so hard that people just put in production right away once it's there, right? So we want to make sure that we cover all the bases and get the feedback. So this is actually a plug also for folks who are listening to this podcast to please go and try it out, Docker with the MAC VLAN IP VLAN driver. Give us feedback. We all already got a lot of feedback on that. It's great. When it comes to the plumbing to the underlay, right? So we are experimenting with, as Brent said, Brent also have this excellent documentation video. As Ivan said, it's one of the best documents I have seen myself for the past few months, where it's very well done, written documentation on how to take the IP VLAN driver, how to use the GoBGP, and, you know, plumb with their underlay. In the current experiment, we are trying with BGP as a way to peer with the neighbors, and exchange the routes and make sure the underlay TopRx, which also is able to route the traffic into the appropriate Docker host. Also, if you don't want to do the BGP integration, there is also static routes available on the TopRx, which where people can write static routes and make the L3 reachability happen as well. When it comes to timelines, again, the timelines are entirely determined by the community themselves. So the faster we get feedback, quality feedback, of course, will make us release it sooner than expected. So the current release is 1.11. We're already out. So 1.12 is the target release, but it can happen only if you get enough feedback from the community.
And I think if you're new to Docker or new to Docker networking, you know, there's a lot of options. If you're looking for an underlay integration, I really, you know, starting out with L2 is kind of the very simple, clean way to start, because about everybody in networking kind of understands how you run a trunk down to a host or just a parent ETH0. So flooding and learning kind of takes care of, you know, there is no additional need to bolt anything on, because, you know, broadcast will take care of discovery. You know, as you get a feel for that, I think progressing into exploring the L3 piece is going to be useful. Like the L3 alone, there's some of the biggest of the big data centers out there are either using it or exploring it. So there's a lot of upside potential there for massive scale.
Yeah, I think that that's the, to me, as a layer 3 guy, that's the really interesting part, because that's what I'm most comfortable with. But the fact that it's sort of a full stack of L2, L3 with equivalent support for both, I think is a pretty big deal, right? Especially if you're talking about scaling to any size, right? You sort of have to be able to make that jump just like you would in typical networking, right? As you graduate to larger networks, you move from plumbing VLANs everywhere to pushing layer 3 out, even down to the access ports at some point. That's a very important point to be said here.
And just, I want to make sure that, yes, this podcast, we're talking more about IPVLAN and MacVLAN, because that's a cool thing that we are developing. But having said that, again, it's a choice that the operator must make on which technology suits them better. And as we discussed before, there are places where if there is no access to the underlay, we cannot pretty much do a MacVLAN and IPVLAN. And that's the reason why we have other options like the overlay driver for multi-host connectivity and bridge driver today for a single host networking with the port mapping and adding. When it comes to the choice of networking, we are trying to cover the end-to-end perspective of bridge networking, overlay, underlay integration, MacVLAN, IPVLAN, just to make sure that once the operators and the application developers, they don't have to choose between Docker networking versus other networking. We are trying to provide everything under the Docker's approved networking drivers, so that it's easy for anybody to just start using Docker, regardless of which environment they run it on.
Okay, and with this marketing message, let's wrap this up. So, Madhu, I know you have to run. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you and learn more about what you guys are doing?
IRC. I am Madhu in the IRC channel, Docker Network channel. Of course, I'm on Twitter these days, Madhu Venugopal. So yeah, reach out and learn more. Thanks.
Thank you. John, you've been quiet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, I think Madhu and, you know, at the level we were discussing, they were covering it pretty deep. I would just add the end part is that, to Brent's point, we're finding is the traditional networking people just don't like complexity. And the IPVLAN stuff seems to resonate pretty well with the people I talk to.
Yeah, and I can totally agree with that.
Yep, I also believe that's true and subscribe to it myself.
John, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, the best place for me is Twitter is kind of my portal to the world. I've got a horrible Twitter handle. The name is Bacha Galoo, Bacha, BOTCHAGALUPE.
How did you get that one?
Ha, yeah. You know, it's a song my mother used to sing like 50 years ago. And somehow when the internet thing was starting, I thought it would be really cool to have this name. And it was a horrible decision, but it's my brand now. So
that's awesome. I always thought it was some like DevOps thing.
Yeah, this is like, you know, this is like 30 music themes, ballads from the 30s, some song that my mom used to sing. So
nice.
Nice. And Brent, how about you? Where do you hide?
Hide in, on the couch and in the dark at night. But other than that, I do check Twitter and blog at Network Static. I've actually been blogging a little bit more here lately, so that's good. And then GitHub is Nerd Alert. So if you want to participate in any of this, if you have questions about it, any of those ways, I'm on some of the Slacks too now. Like there's a Packet Pusher Slack I jumped into, so that's been cool. So yeah, don't hesitate.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you, John. Madhu has already gone. Thank you, Madhu. The next time you have something really interesting, let me know, and we'll schedule another podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Yvonne. Really means a lot. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And Nick, what are you doing when you are not on my podcast?
Chasing kids around, coaching baseball, and wrangling packets. Once in a while, I get a chance to blog at forwardingplane.net, look at Twitter, whenever I get a chance. It's just at Baralio. Not as creative as some of the other ones, just my last name. Yeah, well, keep it simple, or else I can't do it. So other than that, once in a while, I even sleep. It's rare, but it does happen.
Yeah, I've heard about that thing. It's overrated, I've heard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I'm Ivan Pipelnjak, and you can find me at ipspace.net or on Twitter, I'm at iOSHints. And if you love this podcast and you just stumbled upon it by accident because Brent or Nick or John shared the link on Twitter, it's called Software Gone Wild. And if you go to ipspace.net/podcasts, you'll find the RSS feed, so you can subscribe to it and it gets downloaded automatically into your whatever software you're using. And by the way, if you want to know more about SDN, there's this thing called sdn.ipspace.net where you'll find links to various things, including webinars, presentations, free videos, and so on and so on. Don't forget, today we've been totally in software land, but beneath it all, it's still physical hardware and physical networking.